first reading this morning is from Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 2. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 13 with me responsively. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. My enemy will say, "I have prevailed." My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has been bountifully with me.
Today is from John, the 18th chapter. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you think of this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Dear friends, the events of this week have left the country heartbroken. Heartbroken and angry. In Baton Rouge, in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, in Dallas, and beyond. The violence is overwhelming. Earlier this week, I went down to the governor's residence in St. Paul, where peaceful protesters had gathered to lament, to share stories, and to grieve. I witnessed the tears of so many, young and old, black, white, Asian, and others. Less than a block away, I saw a group of police officers standing there. And as the protesters arrived on the scene, they looked everyone in the eye and nodded a stoic welcome. I heard stories that day. I heard speeches of eyewitnesses to the violence. I heard impassioned pleas by people of color asking for an end to the senseless violence, an end to the killing of brown and black skinned bodies and souls. And I heard something else. Instructions to those of us who were born with white skin. They asked that we would listen. It was an imperative to listen. Not to speak, but to listen. So through the tears, I did just that. I listened. I listened as stories were told about Philando Castile, about the children at the school where he worked, the children who loved him. I heard stories from young people who dreamed of a world where they would be valued as much as everyone else in this world. I heard stories of elders who had lived through the civil rights movement of the 60s and wondered why this wound of racism has not been healed. I listened to story after story as tears continued to stream down my face. Then I noticed that some others were not crying, and I wondered, had their tears dried up? Had they cried so many tears that there were none left to cry? Had their tears turned to righteous anger? I don't know. So I listened some more. What can we do, especially those of us who were born with white skin? Well, I was instructed at that rally to listen, to listen. And they also asked that all of us have discussions, open discussions with our family members, with our friends, and with our neighbors. Not with the intent of changing other people's minds or defending a certain position. But they said, if we can only just talk about these things together, if we can be open about them, then maybe something will change. We are in a world right now where our black and brown siblings, made in the image of God, fear for their lives every single day. And this is not about politics. This is about a shared humanity. This is not about taking a political stance. This is about listening and seeing the image of God within each one of us. Black and white, police and civilians, all of us made by the same God and created by the same Spirit that moves within and among us, especially in times like this. This is the world that Jesus encountered in his lifetime as he fought the power of empire, as Jesus stood before Pilate and proclaimed that his kingdom is not of this world. And Jesus gave us a new vision, a vision for the kingdom of God that exists not just in the afterlife, not somewhere far away, but that we could glimpse it right here and right now. It is a kingdom not of this world, but Jesus taught us that we could catch a glimpse of it right now. Jesus taught that we are not consumers of the kingdom. We are contributors to it. Say that again. We are not consumers of the kingdom. We are contributors. We are builders. We are architects. We are co-creators with God in building this kingdom of God right here in this world. God has given all of us amazing gifts. As the body of Christ, we have a tremendous amount of power, the power to create and to heal. And we also have the power to destroy. God has gifted us with this power and creativity. And now we must ask ourselves, what will we do with these gifts?
It's not out there, right?
We got a glimpse of the kingdom of God when death could not hold Jesus in that tomb, when he broke through the chains of death and was resurrected. And the kingdom of God was in flesh when the disciples, after Jesus' death, were not bound with the chains of anger or hatred or bitterness, or and they did not turn to violence either. They turned outward into the community, sharing the good news, loving one another, teaching one another about Jesus Christ. We are witnesses to the kingdom of God, just like the disciples, when we resist bitterness and embrace peaceful methods for transforming this world. We are not consumers of the kingdom of God. We are contributors. We are creators, artists who have the power to mold and shape our world. Will we respond with violence and bitterness? Or will we respond with nonviolence, understanding, and reconciliation? The kingdom of God is what the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. spoke of when he preached about the beloved community in 1957. He said this, "The ultimate end to violence is to defeat the opponent. The ultimate end of nonviolence is to win the friendship of the opponent. And so the aftermath of violence is bitterness, but the aftermath of nonviolence is the creation of a beloved community. The aftermath of nonviolence is redemption and reconciliation. This is a method that seeks to transform and to redeem and to win the friendship of the opponent and to make it possible for people to live together as siblings in a community and not to continually live with bitterness and friction." Friends, we are surrounded by the forces of the empire that try to draw us in, forces that tempt us to construct categories of us versus them. The empire molds us in subtle and not so subtle ways to comply with their demands. And our Minnesota nice culture helps the empire approach to accomplish this. Our Minnesota nice culture, a culture in which I grew up, and I know many of you too did, says don't rock the boat. Don't cause trouble. Just blend in and don't make a fuss. That approach is not working. This week, we look around us and we can see that avoiding the problem is not working. What has resulted is a culture that devalues certain lives, black and brown lives. A culture that pits civilians against police. A culture that tells white-skinned people to keep quiet. A culture that teaches some of our citizens to fear for their lives. And it's not working. So what are we to do? I have three things. Listen, pray, and repent. First, we need to listen. Like I was taught at that rally on Thursday, we need to connect face to face with one another and listen. Through listening, we can understand a different perspective. We can honor our police officers and those who help protect us, and we can also honor those who are feeling the forces that are pushing down on them. We can have open dialogue about what's happening in this country and begin a new understanding. So I'm inviting all of you this week, if you want to talk about this, if you have a different point of view than I do, let's sit down. Let's have coffee. Let's talk about it. I want to be the kind of community where we can disagree, we can have different points of view, but we still come back to it because we are a community. Secondly, please pray. As Christians, we are called to pray for the world. We are called to be part of the solution, to be the hands and feet of Christ in a world that is hurting. We must pray for healing, deep healing. And as we can see, the wounds of racism run deep, and that takes a long time to heal. And that kind of healing can only be achieved through inviting the Holy Spirit into this reality and asking for transformation. And third, we repent. When we pray together in worship, we often ask forgiveness for the things that we have done and the things that we have left undone. As people of the living God, we have work to do, but we cannot work for peace and reconciliation until we have repented of the things that have been done and the things that have been left undone. We have participated knowingly and unknowingly in systems of oppression, systems that benefit some and not others, systems that devalue or undervalue the cry of the poor, the oppressed, the weary, and the broken among us. This afternoon, I want to invite you to participate and an act of repentance. It is a walk of service, prayer, repentance, and recommitment. Today, our presiding Bishop Eaton flew in from Chicago. She's going to be here in the Twin Cities. And along with Bishop Lull from the St. Paul Area Synod, they are leading a walk, 5:30 tonight at St. Paul Reformation Church. The address is different in your bulletin, so just make note of the time and address change. It's 5:30 at St. Paul Reformation, and they're going to walk from that church down to the J.J. Hill Montessori School, where Mr. Castillo worked. At that time, when they reach the school, there will be a short prayer service. For those who do not feel called to participate in this way, there will be other ways to participate, again, through listening and through prayer. Over the past week, I've witnessed a lot of hopelessness, but today I have hope, and I hope you do too. I hope that God is working in and among us, and I have faith. I have faith that God will transform this world, and that you and I will step up in love and compassion for our neighbors. I see love here, week after week. Right here, I see the love in your eyes. I see you live it out in your lives. We just need to bring it out a little further into this community. So with faith, hope, and love, this world surely will transform. This week in a prayer vigil, they ended the service with a Franciscan benediction. It's one I had not heard before, and I want to share that with you. It's very unusual. It says, may God bless you with discomfort. Discomfort at easy truth, easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And finally, may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. And now I'm going to invite you to stand as you're able as we sing our hymn, I Shall Not Be Moved. This song has roots going back to the slavery era in this country. And I'm going to invite us to sing, instead of I shall not be moved, we shall not be moved. Because it is through our faith in God that we are grounded in this faith, and that we cannot be shaken by the forces around us that will distract us from our mission to love one another. So please stand.